This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is... Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Today we got to get an answer from you for a fish out of water. Who from a movie or a show was I just thought of, like,
yeah, I thought of some good ones.
Yeah, there's a bunch of great answers.
Should James get to do another one?
We'll leave it for the audience. But there are so many good ones.
I just thought of three, actually, all from TV. All right, 215.
Mine are all from movies, so that's hilarious. There we go.
Oh, man.
There's a caller on hold who has a great one, too. So.
All right, we'll see what gets said today. By the way, I want to just say it was a real shame yesterday to see the news that John Feinstein had passed away.
So sad.
Yeah, Ree, I know you know him.
I knew him real well. I mean, he was a frequent guest. If you are a baseball fan, especially a pitcher, one of his best books ever was called Living on the Black. He spent a year with Mike Mussina and Tom Glavine when Glavine was at the Mets. It's a phenomenal book, but he was a fun person.
Yeah, he was.
I just enjoyed his company.
Yeah, I agree. We had him on the show a few times. I didn't read that book, but I probably read five or six of his books.
I mean, Season on the Brink is maybe the most famous sports book of all. It's up there in the discussion. Yeah.
Yeah, it might be. I mean, and he wrote about college basketball. He wrote about the Army-Navy game. He was actually close with Red Auerbach when he was really young, and Red Auerbach was really old. So he used to have lunch with Auerbach every week.
Oh, stories he told about those lunches were legendary.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible. And, you know, we had him on our show when we were in the midday show a few times. And, James, I'm struck by the interview two or three years ago. I remember after it happened, like three or four straight callers called in to say, and I kind of got the sense they didn't know Feinstein that well.
Yeah, and they were like,
that guy's incredible.
Yeah, I remember that vividly.
Yeah, so, you know, condolences to the family of John Feinstein. He was a real force in writing and sports writing and a friend at WIP.
Yep.
By the way, he was going to be at the Palestra on Monday. You know, Monday's the big Coaches versus Cancer, you know, breakfast, tournament tip-off.
He loved to go to the Palestra. The last time I spoke to him, not one of the last times, but I got him to autograph a book for David Montgomery.
Yeah.
Before David passed, and it was the Living on the Black, as I told David, it had some great Phillies-related stuff in there. And he goes, I was just with David at the Palestra.
Wow. So. Yeah. So Feinstein, he was a big presence, so he will certainly be missed. Also passed away a little bit on the young side before he got to 70, so that's a shame. All right, 215-592-9494. Elliot, detail what happened yesterday. There were a couple different moves with the Eagles. Let's just go one by one. Player and what it means and how good they are. What do you got?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few to start with, but I would say the one that has the chance to play the biggest role would probably be Adoree Jackson. Adoree Jackson was signed yesterday, I think, to compete with Kelee Ringo for the outside starting cornerback job. Adoree's an 8-year veteran. He is the oldest free agent they've signed. I think he's 29 or about to
be
29.
He'll be 30 during season.
Yeah, 30 during the season. So 8 years in the NFL, was with the Giants the last 4 years. He's had a real up and down career. He came in the league as like a ultra athletic, super quick. I think he played offense and defense in college, if I'm not mistaken. But I think at this point, obviously, he's lost a step. You can tell by just what he got in free agency. But I think the positive he brings is in a team that is mostly young, like, he has more starts than Cooper, Quinion, or Reed Blankenship combined. So I think he'll bring a little bit of the veteran experience that Darius Slay brought, but an average corner at this
point. Also can return kicks, too, for what it's worth.
Yeah, so he hasn't done it for a few years. He has done it in his career, but he is an option. You're right.
Like, all right, so what about this Harrison Bryant guy?
So I like Harrison Bryant. He's more of a receiving tight end. His blocking numbers are not great. He's been pretty inconsistent with that, which is a weird fit with Calcaterra. But he's a guy, 6'5", 26 years old. He's been in some tough spots.
He's like, played with some pretty bad quarterbacks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's been with bad quarterbacks in Cleveland. Last year, he's with the Raiders. They draft Brock Bowers, which obviously impacts his playing time. But former fourth-round pick, I think he's more of a receiving, though, tight end than a blocking tight end.
All right, and then one more, and this is a name I'm going to butcher now, and I'm just going to say right off the bat, this guy should change his last name, because what is this? Joshua Uche?
So it's easy.
Or Uche?
Uche.
Uche.
Haven't you listened to my updates? I went through Elliot before. So how do you pronounce it?
Hopefully, but I mean, that's right.
Rhea, don't you agree if your last name was Uche and it's spelled U-C-H-E, that's a change in the name guy?
It's tough to change your last name.
You find a way. You just add
a hyphen.
I'm not going through life. Well, there you go.
Oh,
I'm not going through life as Uche.
Yeah.
All right, Joshua Uche, who is he? How good?
Uche, there it is.
So he's a guy that in 2022, had they signed him, we'd be talking about him in a similar light to a Myles Garrett, Max Crosby. Obviously, he has not had that career. But in 2022, he was a top 10 edge rusher in the NFL. The issue is since then, he's been really bad. He was traded to the Chiefs last year. Steve Spagnuolo, who I think we all agree is maybe the best defensive coordinator in the league, if not one of the best of all time, made him a healthy scratch in the Super Bowl, barely played when he got there.
Wow.
So only 26 years old, didn't get a lot of money. I wouldn't even say he's like a lock to make the roster, but he's a high upside type of signing just because he has had that big season. And at 26, you hope you get a value signing. But
that's amazing. A guy that has that season at 24 and then at 26 is deactivated in the Super Bowl. That's astounding.
Think about this, right?
Kind of like Bryce Huff a little bit.
Well,
Bryce Huff wasn't deactivated, but he wasn't a factor at all.
He was a healthy scratch in the Super Bowl.
Oh, he was?
Yeah.
I mean, if I remember correctly.
They did deactivate him?
Think about this.
He did not play.
Of the Eagles' top four.
Wow.
Of the Eagles' top four edge rushers now, two of them were healthy scratches in the Super Bowl, just for different teams. But, and also similar
Bryce
players.
Bryce Huff being the other. Yikes.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Josh Uche, really bad against the run. So very similar.
Great.
Yeah, exactly. Very similar
one
profile to Bryce Huff.
We got Bryce Huff.
Well, or Bryce is going to be gone.
Ooh.
Is that possible?
What's the deal with that contract-wise, Elliot?
Pre-June 1st, they really can't do it. It's tough to do. But come training camp, like OTAs, you can save money by trading him at that point. Now, I know we can all say what's his trade value, but you know, if you trade him for a 7th-round pick or someone else that's going to get cut, you do save money. So
the team have to take his contract? Like, do they have to pay him multiple millions to take him?
So the team that acquires him does not have to worry about the signing bonus. They get his base salary and then any like option or workout,
which should be a lot less.
Is a lot less.
All right, let's go to the phone. So your reaction to what went on yesterday? Obviously, some players, you know, still in the dangling mode. We wonder about Dallas Goedert. We wonder about Mekhi Becton. We wonder about Britton Covey, especially if you don't want Cooper DeJean returning punts, and I don't think they should have him.
And I don't think Vic wants that.
No, they got to knock that off. They survived for a year, but save that for a special circumstance, end of game. I don't think he should be the regular
guy. Just saying, they've won the Super Bowl every time Cooper DeJean returns punts. No, I'm just kidding.
All right, let's go to Seth in media. Good morning, Seth.
If Joe Camera tells you that the sky is falling, even if it was, would he still go draw a bath again? I bet he would, my friend. You dirty foot guy. I can't believe you right now.
That's a good song.
That is a great song. I don't know about the singing right then, but it's still a good song.
Lots to unpack in the first 10 seconds of this
song. Well,
call.
You know what, Devin? I think we need to unpack you singing 1 week earlier because that was a great soundbite. I love that. Just 1 week, chun.
Yeah. That's pretty much all I know.
That part, honestly.
1 week since you.
She was just like,
looked at me, I think, and then I don't know after that.
Yeah. So it's a great topic today with the Eagles. The thing is, I agree completely with James and Elliot. I'm not freaking out about thinking that it's a reset year because what you're doing is it's a salary cap reset. A contractual type of a thing where you're setting a team up for success long term if you do this. And you're doing it with a team that's already competing at a really high level. It'd be a different story if, you know, they were taking the route of the Phillies back in the day where they're basically emptying their pockets in the farm system to go for it all. And it doesn't work out. And then what happened? You know, they were terrible for a long time.
Seth, here's the one thing I'll say. We know the Eagles were truly and clearly the best in the world in 2024, with the possible exception if Detroit had been healthy. We'll never know what would have happened there. But with that said, we know enough to know teams go up and teams go down. And just because the Eagles were the best in 2024 doesn't mean they'll be the best or maybe even be near it. I mean, Seth, I'll say this.
Look at 2018.
Look at 2018. Look at 2023.
Yep.
At the end. Like, there is no way you can watch that playoff game, Eagles-Bucks. Put that one, I'll say, in the VCR. Okay, no one's got a VCR. But there's no way you can watch that game and say, you know what, next year, this team's going to be one of the best this century in football. And not then have the conclusion, okay, they went up. They could go down. They could go down quite a bit. So my point is, it's nice to keep the future strong by not, you know, killing yourself in the short term or augmenting yourself in the short term and killing yourself in the long term with the cap. But, you know, there is something to be said for grabbing the opportunity to maximize your opportunity to repeat. And it doesn't feel like the Eagles are maximizing their opportunity to repeat.
Listen, man, with that logic, though, you could say if they kept these guys around, they still couldn't repeat. You know what I mean? Like, if they can, I mean, it's the same thing. And you know, I draw that comparison to the Phillies from back in the day because they did go for it. You know, I mean, they went for it year after year after year, basically emptying everything and cleaning out the cupboards, which left the team high and dry for the better part of a decade.
No, that's right. That's accurate. That's accurate. Yeah, Seth, give me someone who was a fish out of water, a character.
Man, I went back and watched this show recently, and it still holds up. And it was one of my favorites when I was a kid. I'm going to say Balky Bartokomas from Perfect
Great
Stranger.
Answer.
Yeah, that
great
is.
Great answer.
From where?
Perfect Strangers.
It's Perfect Strangers.
Oh, that was a great show. That was a fun show.
It's a great answer. Yeah. Like a perfect answer.
There's a couple of those type. I'm just...
Man, it's crazy. 08 is already back in the day. Like when he says
17
like,
years
yeah,
ago?
I know. Well, he goes, like, went back in the day when the Phillies tried. Yeah. I was thinking he meant, like, the 80s.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everyone? Jenna Cameron, John Rich. It is 94WIP. It also is the Birds Town Hall, an event we love doing on an annual basis on the NFL's first official day of the new year. Now, of course, it's day 3 of free agency, but it is the day at 4 o'clock today, coming up in, 10 hours, when these moves all become official. Now, so far, unfortunately, the moves not trending in the Eagles' favor. We know they had a spectacular roster during the 2024 season, but it certainly has been chomped into by the NFL. Look, we'll talk a lot about it today. We'll do it with you on the phone lines. We'll do it with a lot of guests. Shield Kapati is going to be with us in the 7 o'clock hour, Merrill Reese in the 8 o'clock hour, Joe and Hugh in the 9 o'clock hours. We broadcast today from McGurk's, and we are in the McGurk's in Royersford. So, Royersford, if you are just waking up, come hang with us. Anyone in this area, please do. McGurk's, by the way, all day today, meaning until 7 p.m. the next 13 hours here on WIP. Coverage brought to you by NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy. Join us at McGurk's today. And, of course, this weekend, you can be at McGurk's for their annual St. Paddy's Day bash. All right, to say the least, there is a lot to react to, and you can do it at 215-592-9494, both reaction and, of course, previewing what could be up ahead today. We do it all with you, and we do it all with Richie Rich. Richie Rich!
Hello, Joe.
Hello there, Johnny.
Humans are the only animal with true chins.
Wow.
We are the only animal
that
has a chin. Our closest relatives, apes, have sloping jaws with no bony protuberance at the end. It's such a weird concept
that is weird.
We should have a little, I don't know,
about a snake
doohickey on the end.
What about when someone has a double chin? Does that count or no?
Exactly.
I mean, I guess those who are missing.
I'm at 2 working on 3. All right. So speaking of working, boy, how we better be working on it. All right. So yesterday I told you I was, concerned. Today I'm more concerned. So
I'm shocked.
I really hope people don't have their heads buried in the sand and keep telling me, how he's got a plan? I know he's got a plan. That's not the point. The point is Eagles roster is taking a beating.
You don't like the plan is the point.
No, well, I don't know that it's I don't like the plan. It's I don't like the circumstances. The reality is the NFL is taking a bite out of the Eagles, and there's just about nothing the Eagles can do about it. Now, John, here we are 20 hours since we last convened back in the studio when we ended our show yesterday. The big news yesterday, obviously, CJGJ traded. We had nibbled on the possibility, but not thought that it was a likelihood. It happened. John Ritchie, your reaction?
I was surprised that it got there.
Yep.
But this is something I have to remind myself when, in my surprise yesterday, okay, Vic Fangio oversaw this. This was something that they concluded as a group would be what was best for this Eagles team. Man, I guess it must have been a little more, I don't know, dicey behind closed doors than I thought. I don't think it's an even trade. If people were saying, hey, why couldn't we get a guard who is, plug and play right away, just like CJGJ made our defense better. In 2022,
that's right.
He lifted us with emotion. And this last season, he lifted us with emotion once again, blowing people up, which does ignite a team. You cannot tell me it doesn't. And, you know, the upbeat, animated, the way that he conducts business, every team needs a guy like that. I just think it's incredible to think about what negative we don't know about that would cause the team to think he's better off on another team.
Could be that or just cap. Could be either.
And we've heard some of it is cap.
Yeah, it could be both.
So I'm sure that there's a confluence of factors here. I'm sure it's a little bit of a lot.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But, again, the thing that's so surprising is knowing how well he played last year and knowing how meaningful a guy like that, the crazy run around and go nuts guy, is. And just the proof in the pudding being on the field, the fact that we went to a Super Bowl with him when he was on our team, he goes away, our team got worse defensively.
Sure did.
He comes back, our team was lifted. It's not all CJGJ, but you can directly attribute some of the emotional lift to this man. And that's why it's, again, surprising he must have done a lot of negative talking, a lot of stuff that they were worried about. But again, I know Fangio overseeing the whole thing. It makes me feel better knowing that he is complicit here. I assume he's complicit here. Just like with Jeff Stoutland overseeing the acquisition of Kenyon Green. I didn't know this guy very well, if at all.
Exactly.
It looks like the numbers say he has not been a good guard.
He's been horrible.
But the numbers, the powers that be tell us that his strength lies in run game, in run blocking. So I know that's a start. I know that Jeff Stoutland can coach anyone up and teach him the technique, and then it's up to him to see where he goes with it. We know our right guard last year, Mekhi Becton, is about to make money somewhere because Jeff Stoutland was able to bring the best out of him.
Right.
I have no doubt he'll bring the best out of Kenyon Green.
Doesn't mean the guy plays well, though.
Well, a former first-round pick, you think there's potential there. But point is, potential means you haven't done anything yet. You have not realized that ability yet. So that's what we're looking for from him. I know Stoutland can do it. I still feel like all we've done is lost.
Of course.
All we've done is lost. I shouldn't say that. We have re-signed our own. You know, we paid Saquon. We paid Zach
before Monday. Yeah, that's
we
right.
We did acquire Dorian Thompson-Robinson. Kenyon Green is now an Eagle. So we're not completely stationary here.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Howie, as you said, has a plan. I'm willing to wait and see. It is getting increasingly uncomfortable with the fact that it feels like other teams are more active than we are in the NFC.
Well, to say the least. All right, so look, we want your reaction. I mean, yesterday was an incredible day of reaction on WIP as soon as the CJGJ news came down. And obviously here we are now on day three of free agency. And, you know, it's our first crack at talking about the CJGJ thing since it happened. We want to hear from you where you stand on it at 215-592-9494. Obviously, this comes on the heels of what happened the prior day, which included losing Milton Williams and Josh Sweat, which was expected, losing Isaiah Rogers and Oren Burks, which we knew could happen, but we were, you know, mostly hoping would not, but it did. You know, one of the things that stands out to me is I think a lot of people are misreading the situation to an extent. And I just want to read you a tweet that I put out yesterday, because to a large extent, it sums up how I feel. And this is what I put out there yesterday at 3:22 in the afternoon. I'm just going to read it to you. I said, it's amazing that so many people conflate Howie having a plan with the developments of the past 2 days being good for the Eagles. Of course Howie has a plan. It's great that he is superb at his job. However, losing so many quality players is not
a good thing for the Eagles. That's where I'm at. I can't imagine anyone is anywhere else on this situation. They are losing players. They're probably going to lose more. There's a lot of people that think Darius Slay is gone today. Dallas Goedert could be gone. The acquisition of a guard yesterday says Becton probably will be gone. I mean, guys, same thing I said yesterday. I'm not trying to give you gloom and doom. This team should be a playoff team. Maybe they win the Super Bowl. Who the hell knows? But, I mean, let's not misconstrue here. The Eagles are taking body blows right now. Body blows. And it's frustrating. And it's no one's fault. All right? It's not Howie's fault that he accumulated so many great players in a salary cap world where the other teams get to pick you apart. That's what's going on right now.
Hold on.
That is what
I
is going
you're,
on.
You're taking this
and
a little far.
And it's very
last night,
similar Justin, to 2022.
Oh, after Justin 2022. Reed, the safety from Kansas City.
Right.
Supposedly,
they're going to get him.
I don't know.
No, he signed with the Saints.
Wow, he's gone.
He signed.
he's gone. They were just
Justin
in on
Reed,
him. Is the point.
Justin Reed was?
Oh, I thought you were saying Justin
available.
Yeah.
Justin, sorry, Justin Reed. Supposedly, we offered $20 million or whatever it was. Big contract.
Yeah, they offered like 90% of the remaining
player,
salary cap.
To a
That's
player
great.
Who
well, I don't think it would have all been in this year, yes.
Let a little sarcasm lie out there, Seltzer. Look, John.
The point is
John,
the right player moves the needle, and Howie went out and supposedly was willing to pony up big-time numbers to that safety.
John, tell me,
tell
me if I can get you to agree with this. What has happened so far is not good for the Eagles.
No.
No?
What, you mean when
this
you
is good?
Take,
it's
when
good
you
to
take good players
It's good
away
to lose Milton
team?
Williams?
No, but we just haven't done the restocking part.
But well, it is bad for the Look, the Eagles
not,
are going to be a worse
hits.
The Eagles are
to.
Going to be a worse roster than
yes.
they were. There's no question
Correct.
But we expected that,
we did,
though, right?
We did.
I'm with you. Look,
year,
I
every time this year,
I hated the CJGJ trade
and replenish players.
Go ahead, James.
I hated the CJGJ trade. I hate it. I don't think this guy is a starting guard. I don't think it means Becton's not back. I really don't. I think this is a developmental guy that they said he's a first-round pick. We're going to take him. I think they got rid of CJGJ for contract reasons and maybe behind-the-scenes stuff. But I hate it. I'm with you. I think this move, I don't enjoy seeing CJGJ go. I think he was a big part of the defense. But I also was expecting them to lose players.
Me too.
So I'm like, I'm trying to rationalize it where I you're right. This is bad for the Eagles. There's no way to flip it around
Correct.
And say that their roster is going to be as good next season. Like, players could get better. Jalen Carter could have an even better season.
Right.
Quinyon Mitchell. So it is possible.
Anything's possible,
right.
but it's so unlikely.
But there's no way to spin this as a good thing
yeah.
for the Eagles. All we can say, though, is that I do think that, to the initial point you made, Howie has a plan,
yeah.
And all we can assume is, given their situation, it's probably the best plan they can have.
Well, it's certainly his attempt at the best plan.
Whether his attempt, yeah.
Whether it actually turns into or not. Because let's be real. I mean, Howie's had some years he's nailed it. Howie did a horrendous job. And maybe there's nothing he could do about it. Maybe there's nothing he could do about it. But the 2023 defense was horrendous. Like, horrible.
Now, I do think part of that was the Matt Patricia, Sean Desai disaster.
Which a lot of people think Howie had a hand in saying that's what we're going
Absolutely.
With.
Absolutely. But Fangio is here.
StreetEasy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almacead. Almacead is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almacead. Find out more and see the university studies at almacead.com. That's almased.com.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on. 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Well, good morning to you. You know, the good news when you talk about the Birds Town Halls, the last time we did one of these, the Eagles won the next Super Bowl. Bad news is many of the other times we've done these, the Eagles did not win the next Super Bowl. So it can go either way. Needless to say, hey, Birds Town Halls, we are at the McGurk's in Royersford. We've been at the McGurk's in Horsham many times, but now at Royersford. And the program today is sponsored by NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy. You can join McGurk's this weekend and be here for their annual St. Paddy's Day bash. All right, it's been an active first 2 days in the NFL. Eagles more of a bystander, but, of course, active in trading CJGJ, which has not gone over well with many of the fans. Let's welcome in a man who chronicles it, all of it now, you know, for the Eagles and the NFL, and covers the whole thing. Kapate does wonderful work, and he joins us right now. Shield, good morning to you, bud.
Good morning, guys. How we doing?
I mean, you know,
awesome. I can't believe we get to see Shield.
Joe's not doing
great. We get
great
to out. See yeah. Shield. I was listening. I know.
What is he, Vanna White or something? I saw Vanna White yesterday on TV.
I thought you were going to say in person. I thought you got excited.
No. I mean, still just.
She could be like 70 now.
I'll give you two
65,
words. Two words.
Maybe?
Ready? Holding up. She's holding up. All right, so Shield.
Same what? Thing's been said about me, yeah.
Holding up a lot less, though, I'll tell you that. All right, Shiel, I mean, how are we to feel about what's going on? I know he's got a plan, but that doesn't mean I like what's happening.
Yeah, I was listening on the way in, and I think it's perfectly fine to be have a little anxiety about they lost a bunch of great players from probably, for most people, the best team you've ever seen in your life. Dress up for the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, having said that, Joe, I don't understand what you wanted the guy to do.
I'm not ripping Howie Roseman.
So this is the nature of life in the NFL. You have a great team. You have great players. Other teams see those great players. You can't pay everyone, and they say, we're going to pay them more than you can pay them. I mean, think about before the season, if I were to told you there's a scenario where Milton Williams makes $26 million per year. Right. You can't bring him back on that.
So, do you want to pay him that?
No, but I wanted him on the Eagles.
Did the success cause you to be irrational in your affection and adoration? Joe has become an Eagle hoarder. Joe has been a player hoarder. You know, like he can't see the benefit to letting a player who has earned it go and earn that money elsewhere. I think you need to retool. You just need to reframe. I don't know how in the world you didn't manage to follow your own advice when we had a show on Monday all about, you know, suspending your emotion.
Emotionally
here,
prepare
be hard
yourself.
Because we do get attached to our Eagles. But you got way too over-attached to where you're forgetting the truth of the reality.
Right.
There are seasons to this NFL thing.
Yeah.
In this offseason, you have to recreate a team.
Well, you do, and I get that. Shiel, let me ask you this question. Let's get – because I know one of the reasons we love having you on the program is you break down the film of every Eagles game. I mean, you very, very detailed. Let me ask you this question. Was Milton Williams a great player? Was he a very good player or lesser than that? Because there are a lot of people calling in now the last 2 days saying he was primarily a byproduct of Jalen Carter's success. I think he was more than that. You tell us.
Yeah, I was listening on the way, and I thought Rhea made a good point. Just because the players leave, you know, you don't need to say, oh, they weren't that good anyway. I mean, yeah. This guy made one of the
classics. Was he legit?
He was a very good player, Milton Williams, and he's 26 years old, and I think in a different era of Eagles football where they didn't just win the Super Bowl, where they were looking to hold on to their young players up front specifically. I mean, when's the last time they drafted a defensive lineman who was very good and did not sign that guy to a second contract? I mean, it's very rare. Now, was he benefiting from Jalen Carter being double-teamed? The answer is yes. You know, when the center's deciding, am I sliding to the left or the right, they're going to slide to Jalen Carter's side more often than not. But he still made the most of that. That's what you need from that spot. You need a guy who can win one-on-one against that left guard consistently. And Milton Williams did that this year. So he's a very good player. Should he be the third highest-paid defensive tackle in the NFL? Well, that's what the market said. I don't know that he's going to play to that level, but he was a very good player.
All right, 215-592-9494 to weigh in. Birdstown Hall, what do you make of the first 2 days of free agency? And with the league year starting up today, the third day of free agency, first official day. Dan in Philadelphia. Dan, good morning.
Guys, how are we today?
Doing great, Dan.
We're doing whatever we're doing.
We're good. Joe's a mess.
Well, you tell me, Dan, how are you with all the you know, removals.
I'm actually quite okay with it. Did you? Let's be honest. Are we going to be honest though?
I'm always honest with you, except when I lie to you.
No, you're not. Did you expect the Eagles?
You weren't honest about the nipples.
Go ahead, Dan.
Did you expect the Eagles to win back-to-back Super Bowls?
Well, I know it's less likely than more likely. I mean, there's a greater chance a different team wins next year than the Eagles, but the Eagles certainly have a legitimate shot.
You think Josh Sweat is going to be – see, I kind of agree with you. I don't think these players are being appreciated for what they did or who they were, but they are being overpaid right now. Do you know who we signed this time last year?
Saquon.
No, Bryce Huff, right?
Well, they signed Saquon this time, yesterday, last year?
Right, so think about that player, right? So, I mean, I hope these guys have success, but these players get overpaid at this point. And
Dan, some do, some don't. Milton Williams was underpaid. Saquon was underpaid, right?
No, I think they're overpaid, not these players. I think
I know you're being selective in who you're discussing, but I'm saying
I think Josh Sweat is overpaid. Like, I don't want to pay him. I don't want to see Josh Sweat.
Dan, you're a relatively smart guy. Tell me if you can understand this point. There's a difference between a player being overpaid and his removal not being good for the Eagles roster. Do you get that point?
But his removal is good for the Eagles roster in the future, Joe.
I'm not saying that allocating the finances differently can ultimately benefit the Eagles. What I'm saying is great chances are, the Eagles will not have a player next year playing next to Jalen Carter who's as good as Milton Williams was playing next to Jalen Carter. Do you understand that?
I do understand. But
that's what I'm asking. Okay,
it seems like all of us understand the way the NFL works.
Go ahead.
What has to happen?
Go ahead, Dan.
You can't have that every year.
I know that.
What do you want? You're acting like irrationally.
Wait, Dan. I can't lament that my team is getting stripped away from.
That's not irrational, Joe. I mean,
it's not irrational.
That's the whole point.
We all are bummed that guys left. We just see.
You're not bummed enough.
We had to be. We were emotionally prepared for it. We were expecting.
I don't give a damn if you're emotionally prepared.
That is how you feel.
I got a guy. I got a guy. First hour, I got a guy telling me that C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Was the worst in the NFL
he
coverage.
He was wrong. That was a bad call. The pride of Lansdale was not the pride of Lansdale. That happens.
Dan, I'm just aggravated, man.
What is your solution then? I don't really have one.
There's nothing they can do but do their best. But I'm allowed to say that I'm disappointed.
Guys, the team is being stripped away from. We talk sports. So I don't get what's so hard about that. Yeah, that's the whole point. To say that we're unhappy about what's happened, but we understand it, is not being irrational.
Exactly. Dan, give me an answer. Who had a plan?
We move on. Now we start thinking about the next players we're going to sign, or all these compensatory picks that we're going to get, who we should get in the draft.
Who had a plan?
The biggest plan I ever put together is Andy Dufresne, 19 years in prison.
Great answer. That is a big answer. John, that could win. Now, there's going to be a lot of great answers, but that could win.
I don't know how you maintain that patience with a plan like that.
And the cracking of the
stones. There's no way I could ever do
like
that.
Just,
I would fail night after night,
all right, a couple stones out. Oh, my God.
How many years do you think that was?
Think about the fear of someone finding the poster those years. It must have been.
I do have one flaw.
Didn't really have much else to do.
One massive flaw.
True. Oh, great.
One massive flaw.
Oh, no.
Where are the guards for the 20 years that he's supposed to be sleeping and is, like, you know, not in bed?
Do you expect the guards just stand there and watch him sleep?
He knows their rotations.
Yeah, he knows their rotations. He goes all the way there, crawls all the way back in the 6 minutes they're supposed to check on him.
Well, he only does that a few times.
I don't think they're checking on him every 6 minutes.
Where are the guards?
The mass part of the 19 years, he's opening the hole.
Where are the guards?
It's a movie, Joe.
They're on the rotations.
Yeah. What's going on, everyone? Jota Cameron, John Rich. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you off and rolling on this Thursday morning. Well, it's been quite a week. We knew it would be, obviously, with free agency. It always is one way or the other. Obviously, it's been more out than in. Now, yesterday was A.J. Dillon, talented running back, had played for Green Bay, had some injury issues.
But I'm sure people are, you know, mostly familiar with A.J. Dillon. Of course,
bruising.
There you go.
Gigantic and bruising.
There it is. More familiar, of course, with Darius Slay, who's out. He's gone. It's official. He goes to Pittsburgh. So we got a lot to break down from day 3, 2, and 1 of NFL free agency as we make the turn today to day 4. Also, Sixers lose. Flyers play tonight. And now 2 weeks. Set your clock. 2 weeks to opening day for the Phils. Exactly 2 weeks from today. Good morning to you. 215-592-9494 to join the show. Richie Rich.
Hello.
Hello there, Johnny.
Did you know that March used to be the first month?
I did not know that.
Ancient Roman calendars, it was a 10-monther.
I knew that.
The calendar. And it began in March and ended in December.
Sounds kind of weird.
Well, it is kind of weird because it's different.
They added the ones.
It began in March and ended in December.
I would buy that if they added the ones that came off the Roman names, like July, Julius. So where were January and February? I don't know about that fact. I'm not buying that.
Know about it. And actually, the Ides of March is in a couple days. The Ides of March was the equivalent of March 15th, which is going to be Saturday. The Ides of March was the day of settling up debts.
Well, it sure was.
On the ancient Roman calendar.
And
it
Brutus.
Was the day that Caesar was assassinated.
My brother's birthday. Shout out to my brother.
How about that? It was right in front of the Senate steps, I think.
It was something to do with the Senate.
Yeah, somewhere in
A2
that range. A2
Brute.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so look, let's get to it here today. 215-592-9494. A lot to react to.
I don't know if it is. I don't know.
Oh, I think it's Brute. You're right there, yeah.
Not loving a pronunciation.
I was going to jump in. I was like, not worth it.
Not worth it.
No.
So, the free agency thing with the Eagles. I'm just curious where everyone stands. You know, we obviously discussed this yesterday, but in a different forum, Birdstown Hall. We don't take as many calls those days. We have so many guests, and it was fun, by the way. I want to thank McGurk's. I want to thank everyone that came out to McGurk's. I want to thank our guests that were there, which obviously included Sheil and Merle
Reese.
I want
to thank you, Joe.
Well, thank you. I always thank me.
Seriously, that's hard. That's hard to do.
Okay.
You coordinate all that.
Thanks, pal. That's
nice
all good.
Nice job.
Thank you. Well, no, it was a good show. It was a fun show. I appreciate you saying that. It was an active show, but we didn't get to as many calls as we wanted to. So, today's a great day for you to join us and let us know how you feel. And I'm going to ask you this question. How much does it concern you that the Eagles have lost so much or not concern you? Because I have been struck by how many people seemingly are not concerned. Obviously, Slay being the latest, add him to the ledger of Milton Williams, Josh Sweat, CJ GJ, Isaiah Rogers on defense, Kenny Gainwell on offense. I really won't count and talk about Pickett because they swap quarterbacks and McKee becomes the two. But you guys know the big ones. It's Slay, Milton Williams, Josh Sweat, CJ GJ, Isaiah Rogers to a lesser extent, Kenny Gainwell to a lesser extent. John, how much does it concern you?
It doesn't concern me much. I mean, it's not exciting.
Mm-hmm.
I do like A.J. Dillon. He is a man. He's massive, and he can move people, move piles, and that's fun thinking about pony personnel with him and Saquon out there, tree trunks for legs, both of them, just moving people. That's awesome. But I think about this offseason, we were warned, first of all. I think constantly about the fact that Fangio is overseeing all of it. He is complicit, as we know. They talk about everything, and it's all everyone knows what's coming. I'm sure the communication within that building has just grown more and more impeccable through the years. So Howie and the front office, the personnel guys, are talking to the coaches and vice versa. You know, Stoutland oversaw the acquisition of the green guy that everyone seems to think is the worst guard in the history of guards.
Right.
I tend to think, okay, Jeff Stoutland probably sees glimmers of things he really likes about this guy.
And the Becton thing gives you some confidence there because Stoutland figured it out with Becton. Is that a fair?
No question.
That's going through people's mind, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. We have upside because we have teachers for coaches that are really, really good. And I just look at this. You build through the draft. You look at last year's draft, holy cow.
Yeah.
That was unbelievable. I do not expect that sort of success again. But you build through the draft and you sort of augment and you round things out through free agency. And you know you're overpaying when you're doing it through free agency. So you, in most cases, you try to steer clear if possible. And this team wasn't in dire need of augmentation. This team wasn't in a spot where we had to go add a bunch of spots. I know that it feels like we're a little light in certain areas. Defensive line glare, you know, that's neon. I know that this is an exciting draft on that front, that position. I'm not gonna suppose that rookies come in and play and have as much success as Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell, but it's possible that we have younger players stepping into spots this year just because of the financial situation that we're in. And that'll be interesting. It'll also be youth over experience, in NFL, you know, the adages, as those adages go, that for every rookie you start, you lose a game. So let's bear that in mind.
Yeah, certainly wasn't true this past year.
It didn't work that way for us this year, no. But this past year, we can't expect a year like this past year.
Yeah.
I'm expecting a lot more transactions to take place free agency-wise in the next few, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe in the next few weeks.
Maybe in June.
It's not over. Free agency doesn't end after a day and a half.
Well, there's still good players available, and that's clear.
There's a lot of good players out there.
So here's the deal. I'm really fascinated where you stand on this. Does it concern you what's happened this week with the Eagles or not? Let us know at 215-592-9494. I mean, here's where I'm at. I am concerned. I'm not freaking out, but I would be lying if I didn't say I have some concern. And I'd say I have a decent amount. And I'll give you two words to kind of sum up, you know, the whys. Quality and depth. Quality and depth. I think the Eagles lost some real players here. And so I can't just eschew that. Now, look, hopefully Howie's tremendous drafting this decade continues. I mean, ever since the bungled Rager pick that could have been Justin Jefferson, he's been nailing the first and second rounders, and he's gotten some really solid players in other rounds. Like Kenny Gainwell was a good fifth-round pick. Gave him 4 years of good service. Like he was a really good fifth-round draft pick. So it's great to know that Howie has gotten better at the drafting thing and hopefully stays as such, and that would make it all so much easier. But, of course, if he regresses there, then the strategy doesn't work as well.
What year was that Rager thing? Was that
2020?
2020.
Yeah, it was the pandemic.
That was such the – man, that was the worst. That was the bottom.
I mean, he missed maybe a top five wide receiver of all time.
Yeah. And we all knew it in the moment. Yeah, that's what made it worse. Right. In the moment, we're all like, we're getting Justin Jefferson. Right. This is great. And then it was Jalen Rager.
And then the video comes out of Minnesota laughing.
So bad. But that was the worst.
No, that was the worst. So here's the deal. Obviously, Howie's gotten so much better. But yeah, I mean, of course, I'm concerned to a decent extent. I'm surprised at the reaction, and I understand some of it. Some of it I don't get. So let me just lay out a few of the arguments I've heard this week from people who are not concerned or mildly concerned. And I just want to present these six things I've heard a lot this week. And then you rattle it all around in your brain and react from whichever standpoint you come down on at 215-592-9494. So the first big mantra this week of people not concerned is Howie has a plan. That's number one. Howie's got a plan. Number two is Howie told us, don't worry, be patient, work with me. So like he told, and yeah, he did. He did tell us that. That is fair. Now, whether you get Jedi mind tricked or not is up to you, or you think it's all going to work out, that's fine. It's up to you. But that's obviously been a big one. Another one is the Eagles just won a Super Bowl. I'm just still in a good mood. And I can't say I don't care, but I just don't care as much as I normally would because my heart is so full of joy. And listen, all of our hearts are full of joy. I get it. The next
doesn't
one
doesn't seem like your heart is as full.
You don't sound as joyful as the rest
really
of us.
Well, I mean, there's the next season. So, you know, yes, my heart can be full of joy, but also there's the next season. The other one, I'll give you
your
three.
Your heart is annoying.
I'll give you three more I've heard. Compensatory picks. Look, it's a compelling case. I'm not saying it's not. Just know the things that the picks they get from the guys they lose right now, they don't get until 2026. So for what it's worth, you know, there's no immediate, there's no immediateness with that. Then there's the Fangio and Stoutland argument, you know, namely throw in someone in the O-line, throw in someone in the D-line, or other parts of the defense. Stoutland will figure it out. Fangio will figure it out. And listen, I'm not saying it's not, it's got some teeth. Of course it's got some teeth. What just happened with Mekhi Becton is a great example of that. Because, you know, they did take a guy who was considered, like, I'll just use the word, a bum, certainly a bust, with the New York Jets, and it turned into something real down here. So, you know, there's something to be said for that. I don't know. I add it all up, and I am struck by how much I've noticed with the limited calls we took yesterday that most people seem totally fine. And, of course, there's the overarching, we all know this, that we knew they were going to lose players because in a salary cap world, you can't keep them all when you have so many good ones. That's a given. So you tell me where you come down. I mean, I'm able to separate, at least I think I can, knowing that my team's going to lose players and being happy with how many they've lost or being, like, okay with how many they've lost. CJGJ, it seems like, is the one that hit people the most. It obviously was a trade, unlike these other ones where a guy left as a free agent. So you tell us, where do you stand? Your level of concern? Are you not bothered at all? If so, why? Which of those many things I said hit you the most? And what is it about this week that strikes you the most about, you know, where it all lands as far as next year and beyond? 215-592-9494. Help me make some sense of the reaction this week. And what is your reaction? Let's get to the Phillies question. I want to kind of dive into this here. The question is, as it relates to our poll, and certainly can be a topic for us at 215-592-9494, is basically a how excited are you for the start of the season question. Twitter poll question, how excited are you for the start of the Philly season in 13 days? Here are the three choices. A, extremely excited, which clearly would have been 100% of people last year and the year before that. After the 2022 run, and after 2023, and yes, 23 hit a brick wall in the playoffs, but there was still unbelievable enthusiasm 2 weeks before the start of the season. So everyone last year would have said extremely excited. I know this year it's not going to be nearly as high. Choice A, extremely excited, which is where I am. Choice B, somewhat excited, which is what I sense most people have been at for the last couple weeks. And choice C, not much excited at all, which would, you know, to me that would be disappointing if that's how you feel. But if that's how you feel, that's how you feel. Elliot, where you at?
Yeah, so I've kind of become who I hated when it comes to the Phillies. Like, I used to hate the whole, they lost in the playoffs, but who cares? The season's back. It's spring. Like, that's what I've become, though, a little bit. Like, I'm extremely excited for the season. I love when baseball's back. Like, I like going down to Citizens Bank Park. The High Hopes pod will be going. So, as a team, yeah, I think they're probably going to do what they always do, which is they'll be competitive, and then they'll strike out early in the playoffs. But I'm not allowing that to, like, ruin this summer.
All right, so here's the deal. Before, Devin, you assign a somewhat or extremely, let me just ask you this. Are you as excited as you were 12 months ago?
Is this for me or Elliot?
You.
As I was 12 months ago, yeah, I think so. I mean, I love baseball.
Because most people I don't think are.
I understand the pretty much what Elliot just said, which, by the way, like, love the optimism there. Yeah. I'm sure they'll strike out early in the playoffs. I think that it is a really, really long season, and that's a reason I love baseball. We get to watch these guys basically every single day, you know, for months and months throughout the spring and summer and hopefully fall. And I just think it does a disservice to yourself as a fan to say, like, oh, well, they're probably just going to come up short in the playoffs. Or I see a lot of, you know, talk to me when the playoffs roll around. Like, you can still enjoy watching a team throughout the regular season,
tell
a team
Sixers
that you love.
That, yeah.
Well, it's different. Yeah, Sixers are a different story. I understand.
Well, the Sixers thing,
but it's
hurts,
the same story.
But it hurts.
It's,
so
not,
it's
the
not the same story, but it is perceived that way.
It's
not
mostly
Elliot.
The same story.
It could get
so
to that
not
point,
Elliot.
But I think the Phillies
Elliot,
are a much better run organization.
That is so unfair.
Hold on.
Yeah.
They've been to the playoffs the last 3 years. Uh-huh. Two of them ended in big-time collapse disappointments,
uh-huh,
right?
Yeah.
Now, they got further, and I can acknowledge that for sure. But the Sixers also won in the playoffs. And, yes, they didn't get as far. I acknowledge that. But with the Sixers, it did become wake me up when the playoffs get here. They're playoff chokers. Like, the Phillies have been playoff chokers the past 2 years.
Let me tell you what's different. And again, I want to hear from everyone at 215-592-9494. Now that we're 13 days out, I mean, we really are getting close. We really are. Tell me your level of excitement on this Phils thing. Here's what I see so different than the Sixers thing, Elliot, and I think it's so unfair the Phillies are being lumped in that way, but they are by many. I'll call it the playoff thrills. Let me ask all of you this question. Name for me in the 7 years the Sixers reached the playoffs, and they won around most of those years. Name for me the thrills.
I agree. There's not many.
No, I don't mean I agree. I'm saying name the thrills.
Maxie in New York.
I mean, Maxie.
Maxie in New York.
The James Harden shot versus Celtics. The Game 5 win versus the Celtics was awesome.
Game 5 and Game 1 versus the Celtics was great. I agree with that.
But no, I mean, and I can't done. Name many. That's,
yeah,
that's
yeah, we're done. That's, okay, that's three. So that's 3 in 7 years. 3 in 7 years. I'll even give you maybe the first year because of the excitement.
I mean, the Embiid Toronto shot was meaningless, but was cool in the moment but when he hit the game-winning shot. Yeah,
like,
that was.
But then he like that year, not the yeah. Okay. Yeah. So but look, my point is, in 7 years, they are extremely limited because the teams they were beating generally were like the Wizards
and the Nets,
a not good Toronto team that 1 year. The Nets, I think they beat them twice for a year, right?
Yep.
So. All right, now let's do side by side. Now let's go in the 3 years, and there's going to be none last year other than Game 2. Phillies last year was pretty cool. But the two prior years, let's go with the thrills.
Bedlam at the bank.
Yes.
The Arcia stare down.
Yes.
The Gene
Rojas' catch in center field.
Yeah, absolutely. The Gene hit in St. Louis.
Yes. JT's inside the park homer.
100%. The 7-0 home run barrage in Game 3 of the World Series.
Bryson Stott with a grand slam.
Yeah, against
Castellanos
Marlins.
Had back-to-back games with 2 home runs.
Even last year, Castellanos had a walk-off hit at home. I mean, we don't think about it, but if we're talking about the Sixers' memories...
Yeah, how about Ranger being on the mound for the final out to send the Phillies to the World Series?
Yeah, I agree.
Like, that is so not the Sixers. Like,
it has
how about game one of the World Series, the JT double, the JT homer. Like,
how about game three of the World Series?
I know, I said
yes, they've had more moments. They've had more moments. And if we want to talk about the Phillies,
you can't compare them. They're not comparable.
You can compare. They have
not the same thing.
Okay, if we agree that losing in the playoffs is fine, like, fine.
You go but they further, have, dude. They haven't made it past the second round.
Hold on.
Hang on, James. Hang on.
They choked against the Diamondbacks, arguably larger than the Sixers have ever choked, losing game 6 and 7 at home to... No, the Diamondbacks were not the Boston Celtics.
I would
collapse.
Say the Sixers choke against the Hawks was pretty bad.
That was a bad one for sure. But
3-1.
But everyone told me they can't lose at Citizens Bank Park. It's a fortress. Da, da, da. They lost 6 and 7 at home to a team that was like essentially a Mickey Mouse run team through the playoffs, right? So that was a really bad loss. Last year, they lose to the Mets and do the same thing we thought. So like the playoff collapses and losses are just as bad as the Sixers. But you're right. The difference is they had that run of the World Series. They have more moments. I agree with you. But if you want to talk about how to view the team going into the season, it's the same thing of wake me up when the playoffs get here. That should be what the mentality is if that's what you guys feel about the Sixers. But if we're just going to agree it's about having fun in moments, then yes, they created more moments. But the collapses are the same.
All right, so I know there have been a lot of people of the mindset of where Elliot is. I'm curious, after that last 3 to 4 minutes, what you just heard, are you still of that mindset, or do you come around and say, no, I do got to give the Phillies a little bit more leeway because they have done more? Now, listen, I'm not saying, guys, don't be frustrated with their offseason. Be frustrated if you want. I get it. Don't, you know, of course the collapses have stunk. Of course the series versus the Mets stunk. Of course the at-bats against the Mets were brutal. And there were individual players, pitchers last year that also totally collapsed in the postseason. React to it. Do you think the Philly-Sixers thing is a fair comparison, and what is your level of excitement now 13 days out from the start of the Phils? 215-592-9494. That, in addition obviously to the Eagles and NFL free agency coming off the Super Bowl, something that Elliot has framed as a reset year, at least as it relates to the salary cap, and this week would speak to that. I mean, they've lost a lot more quality than they've gotten in, let's put it that way. Let's go to the phones. Steve in Egg Harbor Township, what's going on, Steve?
What's going on? Yeah, a couple of things. First of all, I think Elliot should be admired for having small feet. I have big
it's my battle to fight.
For a 5'9", a size 11 double E's. And I can't imagine how much money that man could save wearing his wife's shoes. So I think that the The Phillies, I love Phillies. I love the Eagles. There's only two chances we have at a championship. So anybody who sits there saying we don't have a shot is delirious. I think Rob Thompson can help matters out a little bit by making these guys take pitches when they're 3-1 count so they don't swing at crappy pitches. So I'm excited about the Phillies. We have a shot with them. And people who don't think we have a shot are just delirious. We have at least the third best team in the National League going into this year. We have a shot with our pitching staff. And if we wise up at the plate, we definitely could be there. I just want to talk about the Eagles real quick. Sure. And the thing that bothers me the most is everybody talks about staying young. Well, CJ GJ was 27, and Rodgers is 27, going on 26 because he missed a year of football with a suspension. Those guys were relatively cheap, and they wouldn't have been that big on the salary cap. CJ GJ would have been a lot more next year on the cap, as far as I heard. Mm. So I don't understand why we didn't solidify those two positions at a cheap price when we could have and stay young.
Yeah, so I agree with you on Rodgers. I would have re-signed Rodgers. He didn't get much money. I am surprised they didn't do that, and I would rather have him than Adoree Jackson. So I do agree with you on that one. The CJ GJ thing, I think, is a little more complicated than just the age, but you are correct. Like, he could be a building block. I just don't think they view him that way in the building. I mean, they've moved on from him twice. He's an exciting player, but I don't think he's as good as coverage as maybe like the fan perception or at least even media perception would be. But yeah, I think it's a fair point with Isaiah Rodgers. I would have paid that money.
Well, Rodgers, I think, like Darius Slay had said throughout the season, or at least the end of the season, that Rodgers had earned himself a starting spot with a good team. And I think that he knew and they knew he was never going to be a starter save Quinion and Cooper. Like, they already have these young guys who... Mm-hmm. I know it wasn't that much that they could have paid him, but it was still not as or more than what Quinion and Cooper are.
So I agree that if they put Cooper in the base defense on the outside, then technically Rodgers isn't a starter. But had he beaten out,
right?
Well, I was going to say they'll be a nickel, like, I don't know, 85% of the snaps or whatever. So I think he'd essentially be a starter
exactly.
here.
Exactly.
I just don't think they valued him at the money, and I think that's wrong. Like, I think I would have paid him the money to keep him.
All right, 215-592-9494. So in addition to all the calls on the Eagles and the Phillies and the topics we've laid out, and of course you can always react on the Flyers and Sixers as well. It's going to be – so this is going to be the first year both missed the playoffs since when?
Since the Sixers last didn't make it.
Probably. We'd have to see one of those years in there, because the Flyers were like one in, one out.
17 maybe, somewhere in there.
Yeah, somewhere in there. So they're both obviously going to miss it this year. So in addition to all the calls on all the topics at 215-592-9494, how about your chance, final chance this week? We've been giving these tickets away all week to see the Bare Naked Ladies Last Summer on Earth Tour at the Met Philadelphia on July 22nd. Tickets are on sale at Ticketmaster.com. Now, first, I got to take a shot at Devin, because a couple months ago, I said that I went to see the Hooters. Mm-hmm. And Devin, being a little bit on the more younger side, thought I was talking dirty. and you know, she didn't know the Hooters.
I don't know the Hooters.
Devin, Elliot, brother. That's a disgrace. Devin, you do know Bare Naked Ladies is not actually Bare Naked Ladies, right?
I do, but thank you for clarifying.
Yeah, because I just want to make sure it's like...
Don't they sing like One Week Since You...
Is that them?
Joe, make her sing that song, the whole song.
I don't know the words.
It's been one week since you looked at me.
I just want to make sure the 25 and 30-year-olds out there don't think I'm a dirty dog, which, by the way, I am a dirty dog.
Too late for that,
I just don't want you to think I am. All right, so we're giving away Bare Naked Lady tickets. It's the Last Summer on Earth Tour. It's happening at the Met Philadelphia on July 22nd. Tickets on sale at Ticketmaster.com. Here's how you can win the tickets today. Well, first off, we wish the great Billy Crystal a happy birthday. And Bill Crystal is getting up there now.
Bill.
70. Yeah, that's...
I like to call him Will Crystal, but yeah.
I'll say, though, for him, I don't think he's aged. Like, he looks exactly the same to me as he did. Like,
he's got the gray hair now, man.
He's got the gray hair, but I don't know. Exactly the same.
I see him and Meg,
Did you see them?
The Oscars.
Twice recently.
Yeah, the commercial
Oscars
and the Oscars.
It warms my heart, but they also both have aged.
They did great, though. I thought they were good at the Oscars. Great. Yeah.
Well, anyway. All right, so he's 77.
Yeah, he doesn't look 77.
Oh, wow. No,
77 for Billy Crystal. All right, so a lot of great movies, obviously. One of them is City Slickers. And in City Slickers, if you remember that movie, he's definitely a fish out of water. He is... not exactly Mr. Go out there on the range and be cowboy guy, But he's trying to
he
be
becomes it, though, Joe, by the end. He becomes
eventually.
It. It's a great Jack movie if you've never
it
seen
is,
it.
Rhea. Yeah.
I Jack cried Palance when he saved great. That. Was it Norman in the water?
It's so good. Got me. So here's the deal.
So good.
Now that we know Seltzer cried at City Slickers, okay?
Had, but he saves the calf from the water? It's emotional, Joe.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Hold one
on.
Thing.
You saved a cow and you cried? Is that what
it's
you're
It's a baby cow. A baby cow.
Okay, all right.
Anyway, I'm just saying, Brian's song, I get it. City Slickers, I ain't crying. Yeah. Anyway, here's the deal. In honor of Billy Crystal's character in that movie, who's definitely a fish out of water, he's trying to be a cowboy but isn't really one. Give us a character from a show or a movie that was a fish out of water. There's a lot of big, like, to me, Marty McFly is a great answer.
Yes.
And obviously, time travel kind of lends itself to it. You know, if you're going to go back to 1955 or up to 20, whatever the hell he went up to, I mean, fundamentally, you're out of. You know, like, yeah.
So is that your answer?
Yeah, Marty McFly.
Okay.
All right, give me an answer here, Elliot, on a fish out of water. And this goes to everyone at 215-592-9494. Who would constitute, like, to me, Ned Stark at King's Landing was. Because he was too honorable for the deceit of King's Landing.
That's a bit Nietzsche.
Well, I think that's a bit.
Wouldn't be a winning answer.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's not a winning answer.
No, not a winning answer.
For clarification, is it any character in a fish out of water movie, or is it a character who is the fish out of water? Because I thought it was a character in one of these movies.
I thought it was a character who is a fish out of water.
That's why I'm clarifying.
Well, let's see where our answers go, and then we'll figure it out.
Well, so I have the winning answer, so I'm going to take it off the board. Michael Jordan in Space Jam. I mean, he's literally a human around cartoons.
Yeah.
It's a great movie. Yeah, I mean, that would have been a winner.
No, I get it. Devin, what's your answer?
I'm going to go Elphaba in Wicked. Literally kind of a...
Oh, God, Wicked. Don't even...
She has green skin. She stands out. She's a loner. What's your beef with Wicked?
I just can't take it anymore. And the fact there's another movie coming out this year, like,
yeah,
it's been
great.
A year of Wicked. We get it. Like, we get it.
Well, she is certainly a fish out of water.
Seltzer, your answer for a fish out of water, then we'll determine the
stakes. Yeah, so I was going to go... I wasn't going to take a haymaker like other people, you know? I was going to go with Saul from Coming to America. Aha! Aha! The old Jewish guy that Eddie Murphy plays in the barbershop.
Oh, yeah. Now, what makes him a fish out of water?
I thought it was just a character in a fish out of water movie. That's the clarification.
No, no.
I think it has to be the
fish.
No,
we need a character. We need the actual fish. We need the... All right, Rhea, what do you got here for an answer?
It's not a tumor. Arnold Schwarzenegger in Kindergarten Cop.
Sure.
That's great.
One.
Yeah.
Oh, I just thought of another good one.
Look, there are a lot. So basically, it's a character who is...
A fish out of water at one point or another.
Yeah, but how would you frame it, Elliot? Give me another way to frame this.
Someone who's where like, he doesn't belong.
Where he doesn't
belong.
He or
she doesn't belong.
Black sheep.
Yeah, something just doesn't fit.
Okay,
that's a fair way to frame it. Give us big-time answers. Best answer by the end of the show, and there are a lot of answers. Best answer whoever provides it wins the Bare Naked Lady tickets. So, Daryl Morey. So Spike didn't actually think this was that bad. I'm going to get to a tweet of his coming up shortly. But I thought this was outrageous on multiple
Spike
levels.
Spike didn't think Daryl Morey did something wrong. Yeah. Hold on. I'm getting that in the next update.
All right. So Daryl Morey admitted at this conference he's been at that by the way, James, I did put the official request in for Daryl Morey yesterday.
Can't wait to see how that goes.
I'm sure he'll jump all over that one. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought we had tried that multiple times.
Well, no, I tried it once earlier in the season. There was a request from a caller about a week ago, and I said I will put it in, but I wanted to do it after we got through the initial bulk of free agency. So targeting, you know, the next 2 weeks, I will put it at somewhere between 99.9% and 100% that he will not choose to come on our show. But ball's in his court, and we'll see if he does. So Daryl Morey was at this conference, you know, analytics and whatever the hell it all is. And, guys, I'm a pro analytics guy. I want to be clear.
Sounds like it.
I am. But the extent to which Daryl Morey takes it, I think, is asinine. And the fact that he admits it is maybe the dumbest thing of all. Listen to Daryl Morey, a question. Here's just a short portion of his answer. Then we'll get to the longer portion. Here's Daryl Morey at this conference.
When you're making a decision, and insert your favorite Sixers decision here, are you asking an LLM for their input?
So we two answers there. We absolutely use models as a vote in any decision, and how much of that decision depends on, you know, how much the assumptions behind those models don't change, and their past success rate. So if you have a highly successful model for picking draft picks, And we think that the game, you know, Evan hasn't changed the rules yet, and so the game isn't changed.
Evan Wash, who's in charge, yeah, he's in charge. Office,
thank you.
Of defeating you.
Yes. Then the models get a lot of weight in those decisions.
All right, so just let that percolate. I'm not going to go wild here yet. I just let that percolate. Now let's get to more of Daryl Morey as he continued talking about this issue and its involvement with the 76ers' selection of players.
It turns out LLMs do fairly well at prediction. They still are not beating human, like super forecasters they're called, like in Human Judgment Project talks about it. But they do add signal over just scouts and things like that. So we'll treat them almost like one scout. Now over time, if it's shown that they have a better track record than scouts, we might weight the LLMs or use multiple LLMs as one or two votes out of the process. So it turns out I'm building on a lot of things that Sentil knows, and you know that, you know, multi-model approaches can put you more on the decision frontier, the optimal decision frontier. And when I say that carefully, you get very similar accuracy with lower risk by using multi-model approaches. And so that's why we do that.
I would just like NBA Central to aggregate what Daryl just said, which is that he asked ChatGPT for help on trades.
All right, I can't believe this guy runs the Sixers. But before I say more, I feel like we're about to have a showdown between Rhea and Elliot. I'm just sniffing.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's worth me giving
all right,
my
hold
opinion.
On. All right, Rhea,
I'm with
first
you, Elliot, for what it's worth.
All right, Rhea, first crack at it. Rhea, your reaction.
Well, that certainly explains the Joel Embiid extension and the Paul George signing. I mean, it's just like you're looking at that going, you mean Allen Iverson, right? Not AI. You're not consulting AI. Listen, I'll admit I've been wrong on many people before. You know, Nick Sirianni certainly didn't make a great impression when he first got here. Charlie Manuel, you know, Doug Peterson.
Yep.
This guy has been a fraud since the moment he has stepped into the city. There's not a single creative thing that he's ever done except convince his buddy, no longer his buddy, by the way, James Harden to come here. There's nothing he's done to improve this team and make it better.
Elliot?
So I think this is a layered thing. I do agree with Rhea overall right now as I sit here. Clearly, Daryl Morey has been a disappointment now.
A disaster.
He's not been a disaster. They are currently a disaster because he made two bad decisions with Paul George and Joel Embiid. Prior to that, they were competing for a title every year.
But they were competing, to be fair, because of how it had been set up prior to him getting here.
Well, no, that's not completely true.
He drafted Jared McCain.
Embiid,
was Elton Brand.
I don't buy that. I mean, we can pick one.
I mean, it just depends what side you're on.
All right, well, aside from that, go ahead.
Here's what I'd say about that clip specifically. I know why it annoys people because of where we're at right now, but I am fine with what he's saying. And I would also say, like, it would not surprise me if Howie Roseman feels a similar level to what Daryl Morey just said. So all he's saying is they're using, like, analytics and like,
where, as one
it's
vote.
More
as one
information. Vote. Yes, as, like, a
exactly.
scout.
Right.
And again, yeah. AI is pretty freaking smart, man. Like, I get it. It sounds like whatever, but he's just talking about using prediction models. Like,
I also think this
and
is
he's not
a
saying it's the final decision. I just think we're I hate what Daryl Morey has done. I am not a fan of Daryl Morey. I would go with disaster, Joe, but I think this specific thing is just everyone hates Daryl Morey and they're jumping on something when it's just more information. It's smart to use every resource
If they were good right now, this would be viewed as like, wow, look at
I totally been. Agree, Elliot.
Nothing. What? Here's the reason I have a problem with it. What were the bill of goods we were sold on Daryl Morey when he got here was how creative he was.
He's never been the least bit
creative. So, like, could he ask AI? If he asked AI for creativity, I'd be like, okay, maybe we'll get it.
Yeah, but I think
it'd be different if he said, like, that was what was the main driver.
Right.
Totally.
Like, this is not, and also, for what it's worth, it sounds like he's mostly talking about drafting. Like, they have been a good drafting team. But you are right. Like, the Joel Embiid and Paul George decisions were disasters. No question about it. It is backfired, and I thought at the time they were flawed decisions. But I think overall, like, he's been a good drafter. Their role players have actually been really good this year. That's the ironic part.
I don't agree with that.
Well, Well, I'm curious what you disagree with. Like, I mean, Oubre, Yabusele's been really good. Mm-hmm. Grimes has been really good over the past few weeks. McCain was going to win Rookie of the Year.
Grimes is playing when nobody else is.
Yeah. But he still is playing.
Grimes is just pulling an MCW. No, it's just a ton of numbers on a bad team. He traded
Caleb Martin for Grimes and a pick.
Yeah, but Caleb Martin was supposed to be one of those role players. KJ Martin was supposed to be one of those role players.
And KJ Martin was playing well before he traded him. Regardless, the things that have gone poorly this year for the Sixers are Embiid, Paul George, and Maxey to an extent. Like, Maxey's probably not been what we all hoped he would be. But on the fringes, it's a good roster.
Here's the thing, Elliot. If he was this great creative GM that we were always sold, he should have traded Embiid 2 years ago.
Well, he could have.
So I agree that... So,
and you know I've been saying that to you.
I know you have, and I do think it would have been the right decision, but that would have been an extremely bold decision. Like, you are correct, it would have been the right one now, and I agree with you. Like, he's not being creative.
All right, so let me just say this, just to round this out. There's three aspects of this I don't like.
Okay.
Number one, I don't think he should lean into this as much as he clearly is. And I agree with everyone saying it's not the final say, but I would guess it's a bigger say than you think. I would guess it's a bigger say than Howie Roseman might apply to analytics. When I hear Howie talk, he sounds like a human. When I hear Daryl Morey talk, he sounds like the AI.
Now, I think it's worth stating.
So I'm just telling you, first and foremost, my gut feeling is that this guy leans into this to formulate decisions too much.
But all we can go on is what he said. He said it was one scout.
I'm just telling you.
But that's number one.
Yeah. Number two. Two and three are the same concepts from a different vantage point. Two and three are both don't say it. Point two is don't say it. No, even if you use it, no Sixers fan wants to hear it. It is stunning to me. It is so, and this is where, and the Sixers have suffered from this for years. There is such a lack of ability of Sixers figures talking truth to power to get the powerful to act differently. I'm not blaming the underlings within the Sixers. I wish one of them would say, Daryl, don't do that. If they do, he blows through the stop sign. If they don't, they don't. But the point is, his choice to go public with that when the team is a dumpster fire is a fiasco of a decision.
It's on brand for him, though. It's completely 1,000%.
Hold on, Elliot. Yeah. That's number two. Don't say it when no one wants to hear it. Number three, let's just say that Daryl Morey has found a competitive advantage with this. Don't tell the world. That's like, let's just say you found a competitive advantage. Why in like the hell, as a general manager in basketball, would you show up to a public conference when the other GMs who probably are not utilizing it to the same extent, perhaps none are some aren't utilizing it at all. Let's just say hypothetically it's an advantage. Why tell the world? Let me answer the question. Because you're in that dork zone of the Sloan Analytics Conference, and you want to seem cool amongst the dorks.
For what it's worth, there's all kinds of articles about NBA teams using AI, if you just Google it, for what it's worth.
It's just dumb on so many levels.
So you could definitely convince me that, considering what's happening with
and
the
Sixers...
And
I'm a pro-analytics guy, but it's dumb.
I think there's, like, maybe just don't go this year. You know, like, it's not going great. Like, maybe just don't go.
That's a good point.
I agree with that.
Yeah. It's like Paul George stopping his podcast. Like, have a sense of what's going on.
Maybe just now's not the time.
Correct.
Right? And I do think Daryl's not great at reading the
room.
Not great.
Sometimes. He's horrendous at that.
But I
don't think he cares.
I know we can't remove emotion from this. Obviously, I'm like, they're disappointed. But I do think it's an encouraging quote in the way that they are running things, I believe, the right way on how they're doing it. It just right now, obviously, the contract's
Well, look, we'll take your reaction.